Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 94. We'll read verses 12 through 19 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 94, verses 12 through 19. Psalm 94, verses 12 through 19. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who shall rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you earlier this morning. We had Sunday school and the great fellowship and the teaching of your word and the truth that was taught to us. And yet the main event is here. Thank you for being our God and being here in this place. Father, please use our preacher, filling with your power. Control his thoughts, control his mind, control his mouth to give us what we need so we could go out, reach and help as many people as possible for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to ask that everyone still themselves, find a place. Make sure your cell phone is off so it does not disturb the sermon this morning. Only leave the auditorium if it's an emergency. I think that God's word deserves our attention. I think that there are people that you may not know that are desperate for what's about to be said. Somebody had a rough week. As a result of it, they were just hanging on. They could not wait to get here this morning, hoping that the Word of God would meet a need that they have. And so you need to be cautious. You say, well, I'm not real interested. Then get your eyes off yourself onto someone else and let that someone get what they need from the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to read to you the key verse for this morning's sermon. In Psalm 94:19, it says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I've entitled the sermon of the day, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. We all want comfort. The human race seeks comfort. Oh, and we seek it in a variety of ways. We seek it emotionally. We seek it spiritually. We seek it physically. I was thinking about some of the comforts that we seek for our bodies. Dr. Scholes makes a cushion that goes inside your shoe, and it is to comfort your foot. You ladies know this quite well. Ladies enjoy lotion. They like it because of its smell, but they like to put it on their hands and maybe on their skin. Why? Because of the comfort that that lotion provides. If your lips are chapped or dry, you like the comfort of chapstick. Some will enjoy lighting a candle, a scented candle, and just set for a little while to enjoy the comfort that the candle might provide. If your eyes are dry, if you have contacts or an eye condition, maybe it's Visine or an eye drop that will bring comfort to your body. I enjoy a fireplace. I enjoy a fire out of doors. There's just something comforting about listening to the crack of that fire. There's something soothing about it. Maybe you enjoy getting your sunglasses on finally, you know, that the sun's glaring down in your eyes and just the comfort, taking that stress off your eyes. Some of you went out last night and you experienced southern comfort, which is very wrong. Some of us turn to food. Y'all know what we mean by comfort food? macaroni and cheese. Maybe that's comfort for you, maybe not. Pizza. That's comfort food. I'm shocked. Some of you are saying amen that never say a word in the service. You're going to get to heaven and it's going to say, he said amen when preacher mentioned macaroni and cheese. And that's the only thing that's going to be on your list for rewards in heaven. I've been on a diet for way too long now. I started a diet right at Christmas. And I've been trying to stay on this diet. And my wife and I, for Valentine's Day, I told this story to the Sunday school teachers the other night. For Valentine's Day, I decided that I was going to take my wife out. And I felt like I needed some comfort food. And I was going to get off of my diet. I was going to get me some French fries. And then also I decided there's a restaurant down in Stephen City. It's called Roma's. It's an Italian restaurant. They serve Greek food. And I decided I was going to get down there. They sell a sandwich. You can say this, you can call it whatever you want. Some call it a gyro. Others call it gyros, but it's a sandwich that's made of a meat that I'm just telling you, it's fantastic. And I love it. I mean, I love it. I have a passion for it. It is one of the reasons why I have been on a diet for 2 or 3 months here now. Oh, this stuff is good. And it was Valentine's Day. So I was going to use the excuse of taking Mrs. Owens out to this Italian restaurant. And then I was going to go ahead and break my diet. And I was going to pig out and get me a gyro and some French fries. And so we headed down there. And boy, the place was packed out. And I mean, when I walked in the door, they said it's about a 45-minute wait. Now, I don't know of any man who can handle waiting 45 minutes to eat. A man could die, fall over dead from a lack of food, go into a coma. And I thought, oh, brother, 45 minutes. So we called it in. I was going to make it a carry out. And so you understand, we went to eat. We could not. They were saying a 45-minute wait. And so we're waiting. We were out in the parking lot. It was Valentine's Day. So we were reading our Bibles together out in the parking lot in the dark there. And so I went into the restaurant and I decided, OK, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to wait. And I thought 45 minutes to get a table, but carry out, you know, the whole thought was it's going to go quicker. This is going to happen really fast. We'll get our sandwich and we'll just go home. And Mrs. Owens got the very same thing as a gyro. And she didn't want the French fries, but I wanted the French fries. I was going to get my comfort food and I was going to have it and it was going to be good. Well, I was in there standing and now there's a big crowd of people that's in the little foyer area there. And one guy said, well, what do you do for a living? Are you from the city? I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. And all of a sudden, everybody's conversations, they calmed a little bit. And, you know, it's E.F. Hutton's in the house and everybody got real quiet. And I was standing there and we stood there. Well, I was going to have to wait 45 minutes for a table. Now it's been almost 45 minutes and I do not have my carry out order. Now, I was trying to be very patient. And the people standing around there, the lady that took my orders, she got even a little bit concerned about this because I had already paid, because if I can do anything in advance, I'll do it. Because I thought, boy, if I pay in advance, I'm going to get my food. I walk. We're going. I get to go eat. Oh, it smelled good in that place. I mean, it smelled so good. And I was going to get my gyro. I had been eating fish and grilled chicken for a long time, salad, you know, rabbit food. I could not wait to get this gyro sandwich. It has a cucumber sauce that they put on it, and it's good. I mean, your tongue and taste buds will slap your tonsils happy when you taste this thing. I could not wait. It had been months that I had any food like that. And so the gal that took my order, she came over and she said, Pastor Owens, I am sorry. I know it's been almost an hour, but I just gave someone else your carryout order and we've got to start over. She said, could you wait another 20 minutes? My stomach was saying, attack her. Take her out and chew on her arm. I need meat now. I said, on the outside, I said, well, sure, that's fine. On the inside, I said, you hag. You know how we are. Well, I'm standing there, and so now I'm waiting, and they didn't know who I was. They have a bar back in there somewhere, and so this one waitress looks out and she says, hey, can I get you a drink? Calm you down? Everybody knew that I was a Baptist pastor, so I couldn't take the drink. Now it's like 20, 30 minutes, and it's still taking plenty of time. So the manager comes over, and he just apologizes. He hands me a little gift card, and he said, this is a gift. We're just so sorry. Nothing like this ever happened. And then, you know, I've been passing out gospel tracts and talking with everybody. And then finally, she came over. She said, I am so, so sorry. Here's your order. I grabbed up that bag, and I went to the car. I said, Mrs. Owens, let's go home. You could smell it all the way home. It's about a 20-minute drive, and we're going home. And I could smell it. It smelled so good. If you've ever smelled a gyro, they have even a unique smell. We got home. I wanted to serve Mrs. Owens. She sat down. I got hers out. I put it on the plate, took it over to her. She was looking forward to it as well. She went over. She started eating her sandwich. And I got to my little styrofoam container in which my gyro that I have now waited over 2 to 2.5 hours on. I went to put it on my plate. I opened up the bread. It's on pita bread, and they had given me a grilled chicken sandwich. I about passed out. It was real quiet. Mrs. Owens was sitting in the living room. I'd taken hers into her, and I could hear her in there. She's going, oh, this is so good. I'm in the kitchen going, oh, I can't take it from her. It was quiet. I was gone for a little while. And she said, honey, come on, this is good. And I'm thinking, oh, I know it's good. She said, what is wrong? I said, nothing. I went in and she noticed my sandwich wasn't right. And she said, oh, please take mine. I said, no. No, I was swallowing hard. So I didn't get my sandwich. So I wasn't comforted at all. Comfort. And the American people understand this thing of comfort food. We run to food. Somehow we think that if you put it in your mouth and you chew it up and swallow it, it will comfort you. And maybe it does for a moment. You know, they say a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. If I could, let me remind you of the scripture. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. It is David who God leads to speak these words, thy comforts delight my soul. David is saying, my mind is packed full of thoughts and concerns. That's why he said, in the multitude of my thoughts. He's saying, my brain's packed full. I have thoughts coming at me from every direction. And he said, my mind is packed full of thoughts and my mind is packed full of concerns. But thy comforts delight my soul. David knew that this multitude of thoughts that were coming at him, they virtually necessitated comfort. And he recognizes it. He said, my brain, I'm bombarded with responsibility and I'm bombarded with thoughts and things that need done and things that clamor for my time. And I'm bombarded with it. He said, but thank God, his comforts bring delight to my soul while I'm being bombarded with the responsibilities of life. That multitude of thoughts had created the need for comfort. Maybe David could have put it this way. As my numerous thoughts jostle against each other like chariots on the streets of my mind, thy comforts are a delight to me. A few weeks ago, I got off the interstate out here, 81, and I headed east on, I think it's 16 E, coming down to the church. The very first stoplight out here, I usually turn left down by the Exxon station, and I take Mid-Atlantic Parkway, come back in here to the church. I didn't make it through that first stoplight there, right by the Exxon, because there were police cars there, fire trucks, ambulances, and there had been a four-car kind of a chain reaction wreck, and there was a traffic jam there. And there is one just every once in a while. And some of you, that little pile up and that traffic jams, some of you, you might want to describe all the things that were coming at you this week. You say, you know, I feel like there's been a pile up in my mind. I'm trying to go somewhere, but there's almost as if there is a mental chain reaction or a series of fender benders going on in my mind. It's all coming at me. I've got this responsibility and that responsibility and the busyness in my mind. There's a traffic jam there. My thoughts within me, they get to the point where they're almost banging up against each other, and I get into a traffic jam and I almost feel like I need the police to come and sort through this thing with me, and I need an ambulance, and I need somebody out there with a flashlight or a flare to say, all right, this thought you need to go that way, and this thought you need to go over here, and I need help because I have so many things bombarding my mind. I've got to have comfort from the responsibilities of life. Do you ever have a mental traffic jam? And you almost feel like your thoughts are being rude. You ever been in a traffic jam where everybody that's there, they're rude now, they're honking their horn, yelling at each other? And some of you, that happens in your brain. You get so many things going on. You have one thought that says, hey, get out of the road. You have another one that says, I was here first. Another one of your thoughts said, use your turn signal, dummy. Virtually going on in your mind, and look right at me, folks. Going on in your mind, there's a traffic jam of responsibility and burdens and things coming at you. And you almost feel like then these responsibilities and these thoughts and this traffic jam in your mind, they're almost now being belligerent with one another, demanding that you attend to each one right now. The other day, one of our good ladies, Mandy Thorne, was in the hospital. I went out to visit Mandy. And when I got there, I was at City Hospital, and I got in the elevator. Now, this isn't normally the case. There were seven other people that got on that elevator at the same time. Now, had I not been one of the first ones on the elevator, I wouldn't have got on the elevator with seven other people. I'll usually, you know, I glance at the capacity of things before I get involved. And to be honest with you, a couple of them that got on, they were big ones. One I would probably describe as a whopper. Now, I'm on there with seven people. We went up one floor and two more people got on. And I thought, oh, boy, don't take a picture of this. It was not a good situation, capacity-wise. And to be honest, somebody didn't smell real pleasant either, and that wasn't real good. We were jammed in there. And some of you, that's where you are with everything that's happening in your life mentally. You're almost in a traffic jam. You're so packed in there. I think David, when David said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. For some reason, David was able to say, boy, there's a traffic jam in my mind, and it's all my thoughts and my burdens and my heartaches and my responsibility. It's like that elevator that was loaded beyond its capacity. It's at its limit. Some of you feel that way. I was in my office on Tuesday of this week. I never do this. I don't know what came over me. I did something that's totally unlike me. I was getting ready to counsel with someone. They came in. They sat down in my office, and I shut the door. What I would normally not do is let anything interrupt the start of an appointment. I don't know why I did this, but they sat down. I probably said two words to them, and my desk phone rang. And for some reason, I picked it up. Now, I have a counselee in my office, and my desk phone rang, and I picked it up. And the moment my desk phone rang, I lay my cell phone right on top of my desk. Then my cell phone rang. And I said to the person on my desk phone, just a minute. And I don't know what came over me. I answered my cell phone. Now I've got somebody sitting in my office to counsel with me, someone on the phone trying to get advice from me, and somebody that called me on my cell phone that I've now picked up. And then my cell phone, the call waiting, it rang again. So there was now two people on my cell phone, one that I'm talking to, one that's trying to get through, and then two texts came in. Now, there's somebody sitting in my office. I have somebody waiting on my desk phone. I'm talking to somebody on my cell phone. There's somebody trying to reach me through my call waiting, and two texts come in. And then I hear a knock on my door. And this is how I felt. What in the world? Seven people coming at me all at once. I had a mental traffic jam. And it took about 20 seconds. People often say to me, "Preacher, how do you carry the load that you carry? I'm a busy man and I stay busy." Now, I really don't see it as a load. I really don't. Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I'm not this whole sermon. I'm not seeking sympathy. I'm probably not as frustrated as what you might think I would be with these things, but I have a multitude of responsibilities, a multitude. I have a massive amount of matters about which I think and about which I attend to. I have over 50 full and part-time employees here at this church. I help oversee Martinsburg Christian Academy's grade school, Martinsburg Christian Academy's high school. I help oversee and run Old Paths Baptist College. I help attend to our cemetery and our mausoleum. I plan and conduct our annual missions conference. I oversee our annual ladies conference. I oversee our annual youth conference. I oversee our annual Old Paths Pastors Conference. I oversee 75 different Sunday school classes. I help Brother Doss with the bus ministry. Boy, we've got to have lessons and organization for all these Sunday school classes. I preach every Sunday morning. I preach every Sunday night. I preach every Wednesday night. I counsel 60 to 100 people a week. I pastor a church of 1,000 plus people. I take a different man from the church soul winning with me every week. I plan our spring program, our fall program, our summer kids crusade. I meet with the directors of the ministries of our church and on a regular basis. Had a meeting yesterday with all the nursery directors and assistant directors in my office. I meet with those that run the visual enhancement ministry. I mean, throughout the year, all year long, the school administrators, the greeters, the head usher I meet on a regular basis, and the youth workers, and the ground supervisor, and the deacons on a monthly basis. I meet with the college staff and all the secretaries on a regular basis, and the Hartsford Missions directors, the choir directors, whether it's teen choir, children's choir, adult choir. Yesterday, I had a meeting of all the ladies that run our decorating crews. And we met and we worked on all the decorating that will take place this year here in our church. I go to almost every Saturday morning men's prayer meeting. I'm at almost, I love going Thursday night soul winning, been taking a different man with me every Thursday night to the soul winning meeting. I teach and run the Wednesday night Sunday school teachers meeting. I preach on a regular basis to Martinsburg Christian Academy and a regular basis to Martinsburg, the grade school and the high school. I visit the hospitals almost every day of my life. I deal with emergencies that you know nothing about. I help, and then I throw in just a little sidebar. I help churches across America and pastors and ministries across America. This week alone, I've had the following requests from people in this room. Brother Owens, there's a roof at the church that you need to make sure gets fixed. Okay? I seen a light bulb out. Brother Owens, would you make sure that light bulb gets changed? I will. Could you visit my mom? I did. Could you make sure that stain on that carpet gets cleaned? No, I wrote it down. I think it'll be done this week. Brother Owens, you're too loud. Brother Owens, I can't hear you. Both those, this week. You're just too loud. Where I said, I can't hear you. We're out of toilet paper. Well, I said, which restroom? And let me see if I can help with that. You'll have to carry it in yourself, but I'll see if I can help. Call me about a used car. Huh? I did. Somebody was mean to my son on the playground. I'm looking into it. Could you help me pick a paint color? I will. 20 requests, please call me. 17 appointment requests underneath my door. Then I had someone say, they came in, they said, "Preacher, I love you. I just feel like you're too busy." 15 minutes later, they said, "Preacher, would it be all right if our church started to do ministry today? I would like to see if we could start a ministry." And they gave me the name of the ministry. I have a wife. I have 4 children, 3 grandchildren, a very sick mom, a very sick dad. And I'm very calm. I'm fine. I have about 20 widows that are widows indeed that I want to make sure that their needs are met. Can I tell you something? I have a multitude of thoughts that travel the road of my mind. Thoughts like suicide, alcoholism. But you know what? You all I love it. I love what I do. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I pray every week of my life, God, if there ever comes a point when you can no longer use me for what I do, kill me. Kill me. Take me to heaven. I love what I do. But may I say, some of you, you face some of the same things. You moms, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. Taking care of the food, taking care of the kids, taking care of the husband, taking care of the dog and the fish and the neighbors and all of that. When Mrs. Owens used to go out for a little while and I would take care of the kids, if she told me she's going to be home at 3:00 and she comes home at 3:05, I am fit to be tied. You say, why? Because you believe in promptness? No, I have had it with those kids and I will kill them if she does not come home now. And I need a sandwich. You ladies, I would feel bombarded. How many times in 30 minutes can the same child ask you the question, why? I'm a dad. You want to know the answer? Because I said so. Go to your room. Ask your mother. And there are some of you, you have duties and they're complex and life is coming at you. I can look at mine and feel overwhelmed, and you look at yours and feel overwhelmed. You dads the same way, church staff the same way. Hey, and whether us adults believe it or not, the children feel the same way. And the teenagers feel the same way. They say, "Preacher, it's just coming at me from every angle." And the teenagers, hey, so you say, "But that teenager, here, their burden's nothing like mine as an adult." Hey, their burden is as big to them as a teenager as yours is to you as an adult. King David, I believe, faced a traffic jam in his mind. Here's words. In the multitude of my thoughts. What was he saying? He was the king of Israel. Pretty important country in history. He was the king of Israel. He was busy writing the Psalms. He had enemies everywhere. He had knocked the holy snot out of this big iron underwear goon named Goliath. And everybody that knew Goliath was out to fight this guy, King David. He was heading up an army. He had problems with his children. He had a few bumps with his marriage. He also had personal issues that you knew nothing of. No wonder David said, "In the multitude of my thoughts." And I guess David probably could have read a list like I read of his responsibilities, and you could read a list of your responsibilities, and it could all become overwhelming, and you can get this traffic jam in your mind and in your emotions, and we begin to think, I can't do this. But God said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." In Psalm 94:19, he said, "My thoughts bang against each other." But, he said, "Your comforts, Lord, delight my soul." David was not trying to give up his kingdom. He wasn't about to quit. He looked for comfort in the traffic jam. Satisfaction, by the way, folks, is not found in what you have or but what you do. Satisfaction is found in what you are. There is somebody, you say, I am just totally unsatisfied. There's somebody that could be in your identical situation and be satisfied. David says, in the midst of my mental traffic jam, thy comforts are a delight to my soul. He's saying, Lord, your comforts make me laugh. Your comforts take pressure off of me. Your comforts make my soul to rejoice. Lord, your comforts make me happy in the busyness of life. Lord, your comforts give me pleasure in the multitude of my duties. You know, folks, I've pretty well come to this pulpit on topside. I come to this pulpit, and you've seen me in good times and you've seen me in bad times. But when I come to this pulpit, I plan to come in here and tell you God is good and everything's going to be okay and you can make it and you can take it. And listen to me. There's far much too much depression among God's people. Far too much. He said, but I am so busy. There's so many things happening to me and around me. David said, I feel the very same way, but David said, in the multitude of my thoughts, thy comforts delight my soul. David was a busy person, and maybe even to the point of the tendency of being overwhelmed. But he said, guess what? I have found comfort from God in it all. He said, what is that comfort? I'll tell you. How I get comfort within the busyness of my life. Hey, and the busyness of the responsibility. First of all, I like the comfort of God's word. Yes, sir. The comfort of God's word. Listen to this verse. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. This is Romans 15:4. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Huh. You say, I need comfort. Okay. Get it from the Word of God. Get it from the Word of God. You know, folks, I believe this book is true. I believe that book. And it says you can get comfort from this book. And we may want to go to Dr. Scholl's cushion for your heel or an eye drop from Visine. Or maybe it is you want to go to macaroni and cheese as your comfort food. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you something that has no calories to it. The Word of God will comfort you in the busyness of your life. This book is my comfort. It is truly a comfort to my soul. Your Bible will keep you sane. Your Bible will calm your nerves. Your Bible will cause you to chill out. Yes. Folks, the Bible organizes the traffic jam in my mind and the traffic jam in my emotions, and my Bible brings peace to my soul in the midst of the storm. Yes, the Bible becomes my traffic director. Right. When it's all coming at me, and the burdens and the stresses, and I'm thinking, I think I'm getting to the Bible. I'll start reading my Bible, and the Bible will say, hey, thought here, you go over there. And like a traffic control cop, the Bible takes over and says, this emotion, we're going to do this with that. This emotion, we're going to put it over here. This burden, you get in place right there, and you stay right there. And all of a sudden, the Word of God and its mighty power takes over in my mind and starts to sort out the mess of the world that's going on in my mind. And David said it. David said, in the multitude of my thoughts, those thoughts that are within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And the Bible says there is comfort in the scriptures. There are so many verses in the Bible that can comfort you. When my load is heavy, I run to the Word of God. When I feel like my mind and my heart are about to explode, I turn to the Bible. I love this verse. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know, when things are coming against me and weapons seem to be forming against me, I run to the Bible where God said, don't you worry about those weapons that would attempt to destroy you. I'll take care of you, Jeff Owens. Oh, that comforts me. I run to the comfort of Psalm 81:10, where it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I want to tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, for us to have over 2,000 people in Sunday school in 6 or 8 weeks from now, it would take a miracle of God. I am going to open my mouth wide and ask God to fill it with the blessing of God. That comforts me. Someone asked John Wesley how much he prayed every day. John Wesley said, I pray 2 hours a day. They said, I am way too busy to pray 2 hours a day. And Wesley said, I have too much to do to not pray 2 hours a day. Thy comforts make my soul rejoice, he said. Did you know that Jack Daniels won't make your soul rejoice? You're smoking your dope, your marijuana, your coke, whatever it is, that's not going to do it. Your Ritalin's not going to do it like the Word of God could. Your psychologist, no, His Word. His Word. God can comfort you with His Word. God can comfort others through you with His Word. Hey, let me ask you something. When's the last time you comforted anybody with the Word of God? The comfort of God's Word. There's another comfort that I use in my life. Folks, believe me. I told you the story of being in my office and my desk phone ringing and my cell phone ringing and the text coming in and the knock on the door. Sometime come and post yourself outside my door. It's like that all day long. A note under my door, and 30 minutes later, another note under my door, and then another note on my door, and a stack of work this high. Listen, I know how to be comforted in the multitude of thoughts. I know how. You say, I'm going to crack up. You don't have to crack up. Let the Word of God calm you down. And then secondly, let the Holy Spirit calm you down. The comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. John 14:6 says, and I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. In John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Hey, you say, preacher, I feel like my mind is going to explode. The pressures of life, the burdens of life, the responsibilities of life, all the things that I must do. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can take it. I'm in a traffic jam. Listen. David said that. But David said, your comforts have brought delight to my soul. How? The Word of God brought comfort to David. The Holy Spirit will bring comfort. You say, I'm about to crack up. You don't have to crack up. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you through your difficulty. The Bible says in Acts 9:31, it says, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost we're multiplied. The Bible tells it that the Holy Spirit of God can calm us. I start this service every week mentioning the presence of the Holy Spirit. I had someone say to me one day, they said, preacher, how do you keep your mind on track in church? You have people out there that are laughing. You have people out there that are snoring and sleeping. You have people out there that are getting up, walking out, coming back in. You have people out there that are talking, laughing, eating Pringles and RC. Drinking a Coke. How do you keep your mind on what you're doing? I'll tell you how. I ask the Holy Spirit to control my mind in church. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, you say, what a traffic jam of interruptions there can be in a church. Absolutely. There is a traffic jam of all different levels of Christianity. There are people in here that just love to hear me preach. There are people in here that despise me. Say, how do you keep your mind on it? I let the Holy Spirit of God control my mind. It comforts me in the midst of the confusion of the traffic jam that goes on in life. You hear me every Sunday morning say, Holy Spirit of God, we're glad you're here. How many people in here at any time, for any reason, you've ever come to me for counsel or advice? Would you raise your hand? Oh, sure. You know what all these people could tell you? They could tell you that if you come to my office and you sit down in that chair, the first prayer that I pray is, Holy Spirit, control us as we talk. Why? Hey, If you've got a traffic jam going on in your life, if you've got a traffic jam of responsibility and burden and heartache and attack from the devil, I've got to figure out how to get involved in that traffic jam to help you sort through the mess. Now, can I do it on my own? No. So what are we going to do? We're going to go to the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to become your traffic director. And that's exactly what David's saying here. David said, in the multitude of my thinking, I need comfort. And then he said, and I get the comfort. You've given me comfort, and your comfort has been a delight to my soul through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Many times a day, I call upon the Holy Spirit to help me. For many years, my pastor and my boss, Dr. Jack Hiles, he, for a long time, had a watch that had an alarm on it. You know what he did? He set his alarm 7 times a day to go off to remind him to, within that day, submit himself to the Holy Spirit of God. Can you imagine a church with over 800 Sunday school classes? Can you imagine a church that averaged 20,000 people a Sunday? Can you imagine a church that in all their school system, like our Martinsburg Christian Academy and Old Paths Baptist College, they matriculated 4,000 students annually? Say, how could he do it all? Through the power of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. No wonder 7 times a day he had to say, oh, Holy Spirit of God, get involved. Give me direction. Help me know what to do, when to do, how to do it. I need your guidance. Sometimes it's not human fellowship that it is needed. It is guidance by the Holy Spirit of God. You know something, folks? Never has a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God have a nervous breakdown. Never. Never has a pastor or a church staff member who is filled with the Spirit of God had to quit their job because of depression and defeat. Never. Never has a married person who is filled with the Spirit of God quit because of their hopelessness. Now, the other part of the marriage might not do their part, but I'll tell you something, married people. If you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, if you'll obey the Word of God, you will have the strength to take the pressure. You say, preacher, how do you do it? Well, I have the same kind of traffic jams you have. So what do you do? I go to the Bible. You say, well, you think that's the answer to everything. You guesser, Chester. I do believe the Bible is God's Word. And then I go to the Holy Spirit and I say, oh, God, please. It's all bigger than me. It's overwhelming to me. It's coming at me so fast. I humanly can't do it. And the Spirit of God says, let me help you here. We're going to go this way and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this. I'll say, okay, I don't want to miss a thing. The traffic jam. Then, say, what else? Well, I go to the Word of God. I go to the Spirit of God. And they give me that mental direction, that direction that I need for my heart and my mind. Then there's something else that helps me. The comfort of God's people. Yes. Colossians 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Paul said, I'm going to send to the church of Colossae a man by the name of Tychicus because I think he'll be a comforter to you. Hey, are you a people comforter or a people troubler? Somebody ought to name their son Tychicus. Said a name after a famous basketball player. Right. Tychicus was a comforter. Folks, you know what I do? When it's all coming at me and I need comfort and I need peace, I go to the Word of God. Then I go to the Holy Spirit. You know, there are even human beings that can help me. There are people who comfort me through the difficulties of life. Now, the problem with most of us is we go to the people before we go to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You go. There are people, though, that can help you. I know the people that encourage me. I know the people that comfort me. And, you know, and you'll find this out. The people that will be the greatest comforters will be the ones that can lead you to the Word of God and tell you about the Spirit of God. Some of your problems is you just all get together and now you start gossiping and you say, well, I'll just listen to every bad thing you have to say about everybody. And you think that's a comfort. That will not change your life. It'll make it worse. But somebody that truly wants to comfort you will get you into the Word of God. They will get you on track with the Holy Spirit and they'll begin to help comfort you. I'll tell you this. Children have a goodness about them that comforts me. This week I preached grade school chapel for Martinsburg Christian Academy. I have so much fun. I have so much fun when I go to grade school chapel and preach with the kids. This week I preached a sermon called Cereal that reminds you to serve Jesus. Most of you parents have already heard the sermon because the kids won't forget it. And I talked about how that there's a cereal called life. And we talked about how life, your life is important. Serve Jesus with it. We talked about the cereal of Cheerios. And I said that first word in the word Cheerios reminds me that we ought to cheer for the good things of life. You know something? I didn't want to leave grade school chapel because I felt so loved and so accepted. Children, there's a purity about them and a refreshing simplicity. For Valentine's Day, Crystal and Sean McLean's boys brought me a Valentine. It was a Ziploc baggie with a snack in it. It had a couple graham crackers and a couple pieces of chocolate and marshmallow. It was for making a s'more. Y'all know what s'mores are? Y'all know the Bible, don't you? For making s'mores. And at the top of the Valentine, it was personally made for me. It said, "We need s'more preachers just like you." The boys handed that to me. Their faces lit up. And I thought, boy, that beats the snot out of walking down the hallway and seeing some of you that turn your nose up because I tell you, you ought to live right and you do right. And the kids, they just thought, we need s'more preachers like you. I like getting around the children. Why? There's a comforting about them. Some of you adults, you know exactly what I mean. There's some grandparents in here. Every once in a while, you just like to be with your grandkids because there's such a comfort. It's just a delight. And then there's also the delight as a grandparent that you get to send them home when you're done with them. It's a delight. Think of people who give you comfort. Folks, let's calm each other down. Let's not make it worse. When I'm being bombarded and it's coming at me from every possible angle, I'll look to someone that can help. I look to a Marge Hart or a Rich Hart that are very positive people. I look to someone like a Joan Cain that she loves people. I look to loyal people like a Doug Rodriguez or a Tim Brown. I'll tell you what you all loved about our beloved Mike Bajan. What a good, loyal, humble man. Yeah. Just love being around him. Why? There's just a comfort in being around him. I think of those, satisfied people will bring comfort to you. Hard to please people are not comforters. Servant type people, like a John Doss, a Victor Myers, a Damien Segura. You get around them and you say, there's just something that takes all the complexities of life and all the bombardment and all the busyness. You get around somebody like that and their spirit just chills you out. People who don't forgive are not good comforters. Bitter people are not good comforters. And gossips and hateful people, critics, are definitely not good comforters. The proud, the know-it-alls, they're not good comforters. You know something? I get around the Word of God and it brings comfort in the massiveness of responsibility. The Spirit of God brings it. There are people that bring it. I like this. A man was seen fleeing down the hallway of the hospital just before his operation. "What's the matter?" he was asked. He said, "I heard the nurse say, it's a very simple operation. Don't worry. I'm sure it will be all right." "Well, she was just trying to comfort you. What's so frightening about that?" the person in the hallway asked. The person that was about to have the operation said, "Well, she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the doctor that was going to perform my operation." Can I tell you all something? Some of you that you would like to be a leader. It's time for some of you to grow up and learn to provide comfort instead of need it all the time. I've come to a stage in my life where my dad can't do everything that I need anymore. And I don't have a pastor anymore. You know what? I guess it's my turn to be the comforter. It is my turn to stand up and do what's right and keep everybody calm around me and help everybody to be strong. Some of you, you're just so needy 24/7. I want you to learn to be a comforter. You know, I'm comforted with the thought of the rapture. I'm comforted with it. You know, if you're not saved today here, can I tell you something? You ought to get saved, because if you'll get saved, there's a comfort available to you like you've never seen before. Never. David said this. David said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. David said, I am in a traffic jam with my responsibility, my burdens, the conflicts of life. And what am I going to do? But he said, but guess, I see it. There it is. God comforts me. And somehow in the midst of everything that I'm doing, there's still a delight, and God sees me through it. How do we get that comfort? Through the Word of God. How do we get that comfort? Through the Spirit of God. How do we get that comfort? Through spiritual people that have become comforters. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend that you get saved. If I were you, and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven if you died today, I'm going to guess you're going to have a really tough time feeling comforted. You say, why? Well, if you're going to die and go to hell, that's a pretty hard thing to live with all day long. But see, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. If everything else in this world is going wrong for me, I still get to go to heaven. And that just seems to make everything a whole lot better. I'm grateful for the comforts that help me through the traffic jam of responsibility in my mind, that elevator that's full beyond capacity that even make my life stink sometimes. But God brings to me the comforts that help me through. Yes, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you ought to get born again. I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm asking you, can you go to a time and a place in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have never done that, you need to get born again. You ought to get born again today and let these comforts become available to you that God has made available to the saved. Who here would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I would go to heaven. I don't know that. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. I want Christ to be my Savior. Pray for me, preacher. This is what I need. Would you raise your hand and say, that's it. That's what I need. God bless you. I see that hand, sir. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Those of you that have raised your hands and those of you that did not raise your hand, but you should have. You're not saved. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. Let me tell you how it's going to work. In a moment, we're all going to stand. In a moment, the instrumentalists will play. In a moment, the choir will begin to sing. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform with me will step off the platform and post themselves at the end of each aisle down front on the lower level. And then what you do is, as we stand and the choir singing, you leave your seat, you walk toward the front, you walk up to one of these men and say, I want to get saved. I want to be born again. There'll be others coming, and someone that is trained from our church will take a Bible and show you how to be born again. And you'll have the comfort of eternity knowing you're going to heaven when you die. And if you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, and you should have, you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Don't you let that balcony stop you. You step out of that balcony, you go down the back hallway, you come back into this auditorium, you walk toward the front, you come up to a man and say, I want to be saved. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you come. I mentioned your tithing. Somebody ought to leave your seat. I don't know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. But you've robbed God. You ought to come down here and you ought to get that straightened out at this altar and get it cared for today. I think there are people in here, you say, I am overwhelmed. There's a traffic jam of responsibility in my life. And you need to come down here and say, God, thank you for the sermon today. I'm going to let the Word of God calm me down. I'll let the Holy Spirit. You go to those first, and then you find spiritual people, not people that will listen to every negative, nasty thing you want to say about everybody, but somebody will get you back on track according to the Word of God and back on track according to the Holy Spirit. And then you go to someone that can comfort you. Who here today would say, God has spoken to my heart. He's delivered a truth to my soul today that I desperately needed. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? You may need this altar. You may need to leave your seat. Come down here and get the comfort that's available through the things of God. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to